Hey guys, welcome to One Purpose Church.
Yeah, here we believe that we are a group of imperfect people radically committed to loving others and leading them to Jesus.
We are so excited that you decided to join us on the podcast today. Feel free to tune in each week for awesome messages by Pastor Chad. Let's jump right in.
And I want to share a real quick story. I've got a Bible plan that helps me to remember where I'm at in the Bible, kind of reading through it. And I miss days, so if you're somebody who thinks that I'm perfect, I am not. I'll just tell you that right now. But I do try. And just this week, in Monday of this week, I was reading in the Word, and it was just as if the Lord was speaking to me, and I want to share it with you. Monday, and I don't plan where I land in this order here. This is just where it came up. On Monday, it said, Isaiah 54 said this, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will settle out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." And I read that on Monday. Just happened to be in my reading. And then on Wednesday, we come out here, and what do? We set up a big tent, right? And I'm just thinking, Lord, you're just awesome. I don't think that was by accident that I read that. And then we come out here, and I do want to thank everyone who came out and helped set this thing up, and certainly Sean and Molly for donating all this stuff. I mean, we could not do it without them, but it was just like the Lord was saying to me in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying, the place that you're currently at, which is the Gibson Theater, some of you guys are visiting, and we're glad you're here, but that place isn't going to be able to hold all that God's got for us. Amen? I believe that. I believe the Lord, through that verse and those verses, was telling me, and hopefully I'm telling you, don't get comfortable. Amen. Don't settle. This is not the time to settle. There's too many people dying and going to hell out there. When I read, just talking about settling and not settling, we serve a God that's a lot mightier than we give him credit for. Can I get an amen to that? He's a big God, and we need to realize how big he is, and we need to be thinking bigger. If our vision that we have, maybe for a church or for your family or whatever, if your vision can be done without God's help, can I tell you that's not a big enough vision? We need something. We serve a much mightier God than you can accomplish on your own. This I could never accomplish this on my own. It was God sending people all over the place just to bring this together. That's all God, and we need a bigger vision, right? When I read, we're going to have to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. When I read that, to me, what that means to me is if we're going to withstand the attack of the enemy. Amen. And we've got to be deeply rooted in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, let me tell you something. When we're setting this thing up, this is the first time I'd ever set a tent up, okay? So when it talks about straps in the Bible, they used ropes back in the day, but now we've got, well, they called them strands, right? But we've got straps, and these straps are, these things hold 8,000-10,000 pounds. I was just asking Sean the other day, I said, how much is this thing rated at? He said, I don't know, man, they're a lot. And so we take these straps, and each pole's got two straps going down, as you'll see. And then each one of those straps goes down to stakes that go down into the ground, right? These stakes are not weenie. I want you, okay. These are like dumbbells or something. I mean, look at the size. This is solid steel, right? And each pole has six stakes this size holding it. And when I read that and I see that and I think, you know what? I felt like God was saying, you know what, we need to be rooted deep in Jesus and in Christ if we're going to withstand the storms that I guarantee you will be coming. Sean said this tent for a few minutes can hold up to 90-mile-an-hour winds. Can I tell you, Satan is going to blow in a lot of 90-mile-an-hour winds in against us as a church. He hates what's going on here. And if we're going to withstand those winds and the storms, we've got to be deeply rooted. We've got to be anchored in Christ. Amen. Deep. And so that's a word for us, I believe. And I know this, God has already done, we could sit here and Samuel mentioned it, we could sit and all day long probably sing praises of what God's done in the last year. And that's good, and that's a wonderful thing, but we're going to focus more on what God's going to continue to do as we remain faithful, amen? So moving forward here, Here in just a few minutes, and I don't know if anybody bring their fishing poles and plan on fishing today? Show me. We got several. Okay, good. So I think there's more than what raised their hand. Here in a little bit, we're getting ready to go fishing. And I want to tell you guys a true story about a couple fishermen in the Bible who they went out, they fished all night long, and they got skunked. Does anybody know what it means to get skunked as a fisherman? That means you didn't catch nothing. You had a bad night of fishing. That's no fun at all. They got skunked, right? And so that leads me to talk about what I want to talk about today. I'm somewhat of a fisherman. You might not look at me and be able to tell. I don't know what a fisherman looks like. Do I have a fisherman look about me or not? I don't know. But I'm somewhat of a fisherman. And I know there's some things that there's some unspoken truths about fishing. One is you don't fish in the shallows. In order to catch the big ones, you got to get out of the shallows. And that's the name of my sermon today is get out of the shallows. Kids, I'm going to ask you a question. I want all kids' attention here because I know we got a lot of kids in this house. Okay, so we got a hook and we got bait and we've got a bobber here. And you guys can't see it, but there's a bucket of water. If you're in the front row, you can. So that's why you guys should be sitting in the front row. So now I am fishing, kids. I'm fishing in the bucket of water. Kids, do you think that I'm going to catch any fish in that bucket of water? You don't think I'm? Does anybody think I'm going to catch any fish in that bucket of water? You know why I'm not going to catch any fish in that bucket of water, kids? It's too shallow. Nobody fishes in buckets, do they? You don't fish. Nobody fishes in puddles. Has anybody ever seen anybody fishing in a puddle? You know why? Because there's no fish in that puddle. You don't fish in puddles. You don't fish in buckets. It's too shallow. That would be foolish, right? And I know I'm hard on the church. I'll be honest with you. I get that. I am a little bit hard on the church in general, but I feel like this. I feel like pastors and churches are fishing in buckets sometimes. I feel like we're fishing in live wells. Does anybody know what a live well is? A live well is, every fisherman knows, it's a place where you put the fish that have already been caught. And sometimes I feel like we're fishing in live wells. Amen. And we shouldn't be doing that. Let's give an example here in a little bit. And by the way, anybody's welcome to keep any fish you catch. Keep them. We've got too many in there. Praise the Lord. That's a good problem to have. Keep them. Here in a little bit, there's going to be people all around the pond fishing. And what if I were to walk up, and I wished I had one of these, but I saw a stringer out, and there's a whole bunch of fish, and I saw the stringer, and if I were to pick that stringer up, and all these fish were on that stringer, and I held them up and said, look at all the fish I caught. And whoever owned the stringer would say, what the heck are you doing, buddy? You didn't catch those fish? I caught all those fish, right? And that it's kind of like that with us. Sometimes I didn't catch those fish, and we've got to be careful that we're, Matthew 18:22 says, we need to leave the 99, can I tell you, because they're already saved, and go find the one that is lost. We're not spending the time on the 99. We need to go after the lost sheep, right? The ones that haven't been caught. It doesn't make any sense to be dragging these ones that have been caught in, amen? I read this years ago, and I want to share it with you. I wished I could tell you who wrote it. I don't know, but it's great. And I'll tell you this too. I think, and I'm not trying to be hard on churches in general, and I don't think churches ever mean to do this, but I think sometimes just churches lose their way, don't they? They lose their vision. The Bible says if we don't have vision, the people perish because of lack of vision. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a mission. Amen. Our mission is to go out and love others and do what, church? Hold on a minute. I've been preaching this in our declaration for a whole year. We're going to love others and do what? Lead them to Jesus. Thank God some of you guys are paying attention. A whole year I've been pitching that vision, and you guys, I don't think we got it yet. So listen, this is for the church. It said, there are churches who are like ships who have lost their mission, no longer going out into the deep water where the fish are, but staying close to the shore, trying to preserve the ones already caught, and it all becomes about the comfort of the crew and the refrigeration of the fish so that you can't smell the fact that they're dead. Now, that was deep. Some of you guys are just now catching up to it, and I do the same thing. I'm slower than heck. Let me say it again. There are churches who are like ships who have lost their mission. And I don't think they did it on purpose. They're just confused. No longer going out into the deep waters where the fish are, but staying close to the shore, trying to preserve the ones that are already caught, the 99. And it all becomes about keeping them comfortable and refrigerating the fish because the fish are already dead. Man, that's good. I don't care who you are. That's good stuff. I love that. And I want you to know, and some might not like this, but as your pastor, I'm telling you, we will never be about keeping those who are already saved happy and comfortable. We're never going to do that. It's not about you if you're already saved because you're already saved. It says go and make disciples. Leave the 99. They're already saved, amen? And so we're going to, that's what we're going to be about. We got to go out into the deep waters where the people are drowning. Can I get a hallelujah to that? We got to go where we're leading people to Jesus. And we need to grab them and we need to compel them as best as we can to come to Christ. That's our job. So getting into the Word now. If you got your Bibles, praise the Lord, you can probably see them in here. We have trouble at the Gibson not being able to see. So if you got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to be over in verse 4 through 11. We're going to read it straight in order. I'm going to kind of commentate. We're going to dissect it a little bit. Luke chapter 5. Verses 4 through 11. And what happened was Jesus actually was on the lake of Gennesaret, the Bible says, and he's in a boat. Well, he's not in a boat at first. He's out on the shore, and the people come cramming up against him. And he's got people right in his face, and he's like, well, I need to be able to preach this. So he literally jumps inside of a boat, the Bible says, and they put out just a little way so he can be a little bit taller and he can preach to the congregation. And after he'd got done preaching to the congregation, it brings us to chapter Luke 5, verse 4. It says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, that's whose boat it was, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. They didn't use the fishing poles like we got. They used these big nets. Now, this is just a little prop here, right? But they would throw these nets out, and they weren't trying to catch one fish. They were trying to catch a multitude of fish. And they'd throw the nets out. And he says, let's go out and let's catch some fish, Peter. Launch out in the deep. Let's catch some fish. You know why fishermen have boats? Why not just fish off the bank? Because you get into a boat, you go out in the deep water, amen? And the deep waters is where the big ones are, right? Has anybody ever caught an 8-pound or bigger bass in here? That is a monster lunker of a bass. It's hanging on your wall, I guarantee. We got a hand right out there. Is that true? Are you serious? 8 pounds, that's a fish story. There's no way he caught an 8-pound bass. There's no way. We've got a real official weight scale today, so if anybody catches one. The biggest one I've ever caught, 6.5 pounds, and that was literally right out here. I always wanted to catch an 8-pound. 6.5 pounds is no slouch, by the way. But I always wanted to catch that big one to mount on the wall. I don't got any deer heads on the wall. I don't have any fish on the wall. You know why? Because I've never caught anything worthy of putting on the wall. But most fishermen, they want to. And so the reason you got boats is you got to go out in the deep. You ever heard of shallow sea fishing? Probably not, because nobody goes shallow sea fishing. You go deep sea fishing because that's where the big ones are, right? And so see, here's what happens, okay? So they get out into the boat. And so they're in the boat, and I just want to give a little illustration here, okay? In the boat, a lot of times when you're in the boat, when you're near the edge, it's shallow, isn't it? When you first get in there and you're not going out. And I think a lot of us live a life, we're a little bit shallow. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm not pointing any fingers, and I'm not thinking of any two or three people in here. That's about it. That's all I can think of that live in a I'm kidding. We live a shallow life sometimes. And sometimes we're cruising along and it's shallow, and and we're cruising along and we're paddling along and we're doing good for a while and we got a good job and kids are coming along and, man, things are going good, and all of a sudden, psh, we hit a sandbar. Oh, shoot, we're on a sandbar. And we get stuck. Anybody in here have been stuck in their life? And we get stuck, and sometimes we're stuck, and at first we're scooting that thing along and we're pushing for all our might, and we still stay stuck sometimes, and we don't get unstuck. You know what happens? We literally sit there and we'll get comfortable where we're at. We just think, well, shoot, that's okay. I'll get unstuck tomorrow. And I'll get unstuck in 6 months from now. And we get the umbrella out and we just embrace the fact that we're stuck and we're popping bonbons and grapes over here. And then we forget the fact that we're stuck and we're not doing anything for Jesus. We're not living for the Lord because we're comfortable. And I'm going to tell you, I get it. I understand completely why we remain you know, in the shallows. Why we never go out in the deep? Because in the shallows, how many of us know you can look over and you can see the bottom, can't you? And you get a little comfort because of that. You're close to the edge and you think, well, I can see it and that's okay. And if the storms of life come and you're that close and you've never really committed, this is something we've got to do. We've got to go out in the deep as married couples. If you've never really committed to whatever it is that you're doing, your wife, your husband, your job, whatever it is, then if you're in the shallows, you just bail, don't you? You just say, I'm out. I'm done. I'm gone. And we see people do that all the time because we don't have any depth and we lack that, right? We live our lives in the shallows and because it's safe. But we got to go out. This is turning a corner here. We got to go out into uncharted waters where it's deep and things are unclear and where you can't see the bottom, because that's where growth happens, church. Amen? That's where stakes get driven deep into the ground. That's where you catch the big ones at. Amen? That's where people's names get written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And can I tell you, that's the most important thing. If we're not helping people to Jesus and them getting saved and getting their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, why are we here, folks? Amen? But it takes us getting out in the deep and places where you can't see the bottom. There's some of you guys who don't want to get baptized today because you're scared to death of those fish in that water. Or you're scared to death that when we get out there, we won't be able to see the bottom. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I get it. If you're fearful of water, you can't swim, whatever, I get it. But we've got to get out farther than that. That's not where the big ones are at, man. Back to our scripture. Luke chapter 5, verse 5, it says this. Jesus had just got done telling him, let's go out in the deep. We'll catch some fish, let the net down. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. We didn't catch nothing, Lord. All night long we've been fishing, right? Does anybody else like me get the feeling like Simon's kind of exhausted at this point in time, isn't he? He's ready to give up. He's like, dude, we fished all night. I don't see anything happen. I'm looking out there. It's daylight. Nobody fishes in the daylight. No disrespect, Jesus, but I'm the fisherman here. I'm sure Peter's thinking. You know, I know we don't fish during the daytime. And Jesus has done asked him to do something, right? It's almost as if he's arguing with Jesus, if you ask me. Like, Lord, why? Do you ever argue with God? Anybody over here ever argue with God, questioning either what he's done in your life? Like, Lord, I don't get it, man. Why are you doing this? Right? Or maybe you argue what God's asking you to do in your life. There's one. I argue sometimes. Lord, what? You know how much work it's going to be to set up a tent and have all those people and hundreds of chairs? And we're going to have to clean the house. And I might have to clean the cow barn. Even nobody's going to go out there, but I'm going to have to clean. We do that, don't we? We argue with God when he asks us to do something that we really don't want to do. And that's just all of us, right? And a lot of us, we wonder things like, Lord, I've prayed for my husband forever, and I don't understand. I'm about done, Lord. I'm exhausted. I've prayed for my wife to come. I've prayed for my children, my husband, whatever. I've prayed, Lord, to help me to get over this addiction. And we argue with God. Lord, why aren't you helping me? And a lot of us have been there, but I bring that to this. Number one, I want to say, stop making excuses. That's our first point I want to make today. Stop making excuses. If you've been praying, I'm telling you, God hears you. If you've really been trying, God knows and he hears, right? And when we tell God that I've already tried that, Peter said that, well, I've been fishing all night long, I've already tried that. How do you know he isn't telling you to try it one more time? I've already believed to the most of I can possibly believe. He's telling us, I believe, to keep believing. Keep believing, keep trying. Here's a word for someone. I believe this with all my heart. I believe the Lord's telling us to try another angle. Try it differently. There was a scripture. Jesus, he had done been crucified on the cross, and he had done raised from the dead, but he hadn't ascended into heaven, so he was alive. His buddies, his partners, they're in the boat, and they don't know what to do, so they're out fishing. And he's on the shore, and he yells out to them, hey, you guys caught anything? And they're like, no, we ain't caught nothing. And he's over there cooking breakfast, right? And they're out there just tossing the net in like crazy. And he says, well, try a different angle, in essence. He's saying, toss it on the other side of the boat. Throw it, try a different angle, throw it on the other side of the boat. And all of a sudden, I'm sure their eyes were starting to get open. They began to recognize that voice a little bit, and they thought, who was that? Was that Jesus? And they tried it, and I'm going to tell you, they caught a ton of fish, but they had to try something different, didn't they? Doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result is insanity. It's just stupid. My wife tells me I need to watch this. It's foolish. I pulled back. I did a check swing right there. Did you? I checked it back. I am horrible. I don't have any little kids around anymore. My mouth is terrible. But anyways, I lost my thought here. Try the other side of the boat, right? And a lot of us, that looks different for each person. Maybe the Lord's telling you, you know what? I know that you're mad at that person. I know that you don't want to talk to them, but maybe he's telling you today just to give them the text. Send them a message. Maybe for somebody, it's forgive them. Maybe the Lord's saying, you know what? Forgive that person. Well, you know what they did to me, Lord? Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. Forgive them. Move forward. Right? Maybe it's writing someone who's in jail that you just hate a letter. Whatever it is. But no more excuses as to why we can't. Instead of telling God how big your problems are, start telling your problems how big your God is. Can I get an amen? Start telling your problems how big of a God you serve. That's what we need to do. And I want you, back to the text, look what happens when we stop making excuses, we get out into the deep water, we start being obedient to Christ. Luke 5, verse 5, the second part says this. Peter had done, he's done with his pity party, he's done arguing with God. He says this, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, he caught such a great number of fish, the Bible says, that literally the nets were breaking. I mean, he's just, all night long he had been tossing that thing out. And they'd toss it out, and then they'd pull this string up just over and over. Never seen it. This time he tossed the net out. He's pulling it up like he thinks. He's like, whoa. There's something on there. I've caught a log or something, Jesus. And I'm sure Jesus is sitting in the back of the boat just doing one of these numbers. Just tickled pink because he knows what's getting ready to happen. And Peter's, he's losing it. This net's full of fish. He can't believe it. They're flopping out. They're flopping everywhere. He's losing his mind. I'm sure Jesus is just sitting there going, what's that, Peter? I thought you said there weren't no fish out here. I thought there was no fish in the whole ocean, the whole sea, the whole lake. And Peter's going, Jesus! He can't believe it. He goes on. The net's breaking, right? And for some of us, Jesus does that to us too. I believe that God in heaven sometimes is looking down, doing one of these pondering. I picture him to have a beard. I don't know if he does or not. This is a beard. I can't grow a beard, or I would have grown a beard for this service. He's pondering, and he's doing one of these numbers, and we're just singing the woe is me. He's like, Lord, my mom had open heart surgery last week, and this is going on. Or maybe you had the open heart surgery, and you just say, I can't. I'm. Can I tell you, how is it possible that Kelly is still alive? It's possible because with God, all things are possible. Amen. There are people in this congregation who, if I had you stand up, you would be amazed at the addictions that God has delivered folks from. How is that possible? It's because Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Amen? It's not possible that we have this many people out here in the middle of nowhere having church on a Sunday morning, and yet we're here. That's all God. And he's the one who makes stuff possible. And so goes on and says, Peter signaled to his partners in the other boat to come and help him. He's like, hey, I need your help. He can't get the net in. The net's breaking. So they came and get this and filled both boats so full of fish that the Bible says they literally began to sink. I mean, that's a lot of fish. This is a multitude of finances in this day. I mean, it's not about the finances, but they would have all been... It's just crazy. And that brings me to the second point. And that's this. Obedience leads to blessings. Our obedience always, always, always leads to blessings. Peter reluctantly headed out on deep water. He reluctantly threw the nets in. And when he was obedient, God knocked his socks off, didn't he? Can I tell you, I've seen, this isn't the prosperity gospel either, by the way. I don't believe in that nonsense. That's not this. It's just the way God designed things. When we're obedient things, God blesses us. Amen. I believe that. I've seen it with all my heart. And God did that. And I believe that's true for each one of us in here today. Right? We need to stop making excuses, line ourselves up with the Word of God, be truly obedient, and we will see those blessings. And verse 8, I love this because it's just a bunch of humility. You ever heard of eating humble pie? I've had to eat humble pie. It's the worst pie I've ever tasted. I hate humble. Did anybody bring humble pie today? Don't. Take it home. Take it home. I hate humble pie, but sometimes it's needed. And Peter's just, he's gobbling the humble pie down. And it says, when Simon Peter saw this catch, he falls down on his knees and he says, Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I don't even deserve to be in your presence, Jesus. I'm so sorry that I doubted you. Which brings me to the third and final point. Stop doubting and start believing. Stop doubting and start believing. Believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is. I promise you He is. Greater is He that is in you, the Bible says. Each one of you, the moment that you accept Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. Greater is that Holy Spirit living in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We're more than conquerors. Amen. We need to start saying those things out loud. There's the power of life and death in the tongue. Can I tell you that? I'm not saying you can speak things into existence, but I can tell you this. You can change the way you think about things. You can change the way you think about things. Verse 9 goes on to say, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, this is for everybody in here, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Because from now on, you will catch men. Or another verse says, I will make you fishers of men. And so they've caught this fish. They bring it to the land, and it says they forsook all the fish, everything, and followed Jesus. They followed him, right? You see, all of Simon Peter's life, he had dreamed of making a catch of this magnitude. Two boats full of fish. And yes, yet once he had finally got that which he wanted, what he thought was going to bring him happiness, he finally gets that thing. And he left it all behind to follow Jesus and go catch men instead. Amen? Has anybody ever seen that in their life? You mean you save and you save, or you just sign a note and go into debt for a billion years for that wonderful new thing that we know is if we just get this one thing, we're going to be so happy. Or if I just get this much in my 401k, I can finally. Can I tell you, it never does produce the results that we want, does it? All Peter's life, he wanted to catch a fish, a catch like this. And then when he finally gets it, he just leaves it all behind. I don't need it. Right? He realized what was really important in life. Winning souls for Jesus. Amen? Matthew 4:19 says, then he said to him, that was Peter and Simon, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm going to ask my worship team to come up. You guys come on up here. And you'll probably have to adjust that sound too. I've got some things muted. Apologize. It's funny. Satan is always working when he knows God's going to be moving. Do you know that? I hope everybody realizes that. We had bought a brand new sound system. We had it all hooked up. And that thing basically just crashed on us this morning. It just, we couldn't get it to work. So we went to plan B, which is the old system. Praise the Lord that we had one. And I just knew. I said, you know what? This is all Satan. I know he hates what's going on here. But it's come together. Amen. And that's just the God we serve. But Jesus was inviting them, and you guys can start whenever you want, to be a part of the catch of a lifetime, right? But this catch wasn't for fish. No, he was talking about catching people for Jesus, winning souls for the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you guys all this as we open these altars up. God is inviting us to join him in that same type, the best type of fishing possible, to be fishers of men. And I'm going to step on toes for just a minute and ask you this. When is the last time And this is between you and the Lord. I don't want nobody yes or no or poking anybody. Not that. This is between you and the Lord. When's the last time you caught someone for Jesus? You see, certainly it's my job. I agree. I'm a pastor. And even when I wasn't a pastor, I felt like it was my job. But can I tell you, it's all of our jobs. Catching people for Jesus is all of our jobs. It's not just mine. And I'll tell you this, I'm not getting on anybody. Really, I'm not trying to at least. Because I know that you're catching people for Jesus. There's no way that there's this many people to gather together under one roof in a year's time if you weren't inviting people and you weren't trying, compelling them to come to church and hear the word of Jesus. Amen? There's no way that was happening if you weren't doing your job and if I wasn't doing my job. And so I praise Jesus for what he's done over this last year. He's wanting all of us to be fishers of men, not just me, amen? He's wanting all of us. Right now, I feel like the Lord's just saying to someone, I don't know who it is, you've been stuck long enough. I don't know if that's your job. I don't know if that's the rut in your family, maybe between husband and wife. Maybe you got the kids on autopilot. Turn the television on. Let the TV watch them. Whatever. You know. But I believe God is inviting us to get out of the shallows where you can see the ground. Come on out into the deep, I believe the Lord's telling us. Come on out in the deep where we can catch some real fish, some big ones. Some grouper type fish. Big ones. Multitudes of fish, not just one. It's the coolest thing. I found this to be true in my life. When I've been fishing for men, trying to win souls for Christ, when you get that first one, it just feels so good. And you've brought them to church, and you've mentored with them, and you've read the Bible with them, you've did life with them, and you've loved on them. And then one day you see them. Yeah, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. That is so amazing. And then it's just like, that's not good enough though, amen? We don't just stop at one. We go find somebody else and bring them. And find somebody else and bring them to Jesus. And they don't have to come to church to know Jesus, amen? You can lead them to Jesus yourself, right there in your workplace, right there in the schools, at your lunchroom tables. You don't need me. The Bible says we're supposed to always be ready to give an account for the hope that's in us. Tell them your testimony. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads right now. Nobody looking around. Man, I'll tell you this, folks. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, I'm going to throw that out there today. I'm going to say, you know what? Today's your day. It's time to get out of the shallows and say, I'm committing. I'm in, Jesus. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. The Bible says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. I want to ask anyone out there, is there anyone in this place who says, you know what, Pastor? I do want to be saved. I want to know Jesus is my Savior. I want you to raise your hand right where you're at saying, yes, that's me. Never done this before. Yes, Lord. I want Jesus as my Lord. I want him as my Savior. All right, I don't see any hands. That's okay, because the Lord's giving us a different angle. Maybe the Lord right now is saying, you're still stuck. It's time to get out. It's time to move forward. It's time to win souls for Christ. And he's telling you maybe right now, try a different angle. The one you've been trying with that wayward son or daughter isn't working. The angle that you've been trying with your husband or wife is not working. It's time to do something different. I don't know what that angle is, but if you pray, Lord, show me what angle that is. Show me how to toss the net on the other side of the boat. Show me what that looks like, Lord. Maybe you're somebody who has never fully committed to your faith in Jesus. Yeah, you said a prayer one day, but for a long time now you've been wayward. You've not really been serving the Lord. Not fully committed. You're still in the shallows where you can see the bottom. I believe the Lord right now is telling us it's time. It's time to get out into the deep. get out in the deep. Maybe somebody like Peter needs to come to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry for doubting you. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to be in your presence, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Maybe we just repent. We turn away from that old lifestyle. Maybe the Lord's leading someone to pour out the bottle, flush the drugs. Whatever it is, I pray that you'll listen to God's voice. I'll pray that you will really heed this Holy Spirit that you're hearing right now. Maybe being a fisher of men, and this is the last time I'm going to say anything. I'm going to hop off, at least with this sermon. Maybe the Lord's calling you to be a fisher of men, to win disciples. Maybe he wants you to, before the game starts, maybe you're a coach, and you say, hey, come over here, girls. Come over here, guys. We're going to pray today. We're going to pray for God's safety. Nobody breaks an ankle. Nobody gets hit, whacked by a ball. Maybe you start that. Maybe you start a Bible study in your house. Maybe you start a mentorship program. Whatever it is, I'm asking you to listen to God's voice and hear him.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to follow along with us on this journey and hear the weekly messages from each Sunday, the best way to do that would be to just hit that subscribe button and you'll get that notification each week. So we're looking forward to having you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.